after a U.S. Supreme Court draft was leaked last week showing the court planning to return abortion regulation to the states. Democrats in the U.S. Senate moved quickly. They voted on a bill that would have codified the right to an abortion in federal law. The bill did not pass. The vote was 49-51, with all Republicans plus conservative Democrat Joe Manchin voting against the bill. Vice President Kamala Harris, who presided over the Senate, spoke yesterday after the vote.
The majority of the American people believe in defending a woman's right, her choice, to decide what happens to her own body. And this vote clearly suggests that the Senate is not where the majority of Americans are on this issue.
And we want to hear from you. What do you think about the Senate vote? And what do you think happens next in the debate over abortion in America? You can join in 1-800-642-1234. You can always email us at ideas@WPR.org. With us now is Lauren Gambino, senior political reporter at The Guardian. She was at Capitol Hill yesterday covering the vote. Lauren, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what was the significance of yesterday's vote?
Democrats are under a lot of pressure right now. They're in the majority in both chambers, and there's a lot of pressure from supporters of abortion rights and from, you know, their Democrats and activists in the progressive movement to do something to show that they are working to protect abortion rights in light of this leaked draft opinion that suggests the Supreme Court is ready to strike down Roe v. Wade, that landmark decision that established a constitutional right to an abortion. And so they really rushed to hold this vote. But the thing is, they had already held a vote on a very similar piece of legislation, and it failed along very similar lines. And that's because they do not even have the 50 votes among Democrats for establishing effectively what they say is they would like to codify, enshrine in federal law, Roe v. Wade. But the bill failed because, as you mentioned, all Republicans oppose it. Most Republicans in the Senate and at the congressional level are opposed to abortion and expanding abortion rights. There are two Republican senators who do support, who consider themselves pro-choice. They voted against this measure as well. Their view is that it went too far. It went further than Roe, and it would change the current landscape by invalidating some laws that are in place in states currently restricting access, not banning it, but restricting access. And so these two senators, Lisa Murkowski and Senator Susan Collins, they have their own separate legislation that they say would be more straightforward and just codify the Supreme Court ruling Roe v. Wade. So that was the significance of the vote yesterday.
Yes. And what do you think, the chances are for that Collins legislation?
Absolutely. So unfortunately in the Senate, it's always complicated. But Senator Collins has said she's working with Democrats, with some Democrats who want to see some sort of a bipartisan solution to this. But the problem is the filibuster. And even if you got all the Democrats on board and the two Republican senators, you still would be far, far short of the 60 votes you need in the Senate to pass some sort of pro-choice legislation, some sort of establishment of a right to an abortion. And so, you know, I think Democrats see it as a bit of a futile effort. They would rather vote on their own bill to show voters what they would like to see rather than vote on a bill that they view as a compromise. So I'm not sure it will actually get a vote. But to be clear, there aren't votes in the Senate for either measures at this point.
Well, and not to put you in the minds of the senators, but I wonder, given that there is clearly an element of political maneuvering for the fall, I wonder, why do you think there is a decision by Democratic leadership not to push forward and kind of have a filibuster on display for the American public?
Well, exactly. it's actually pretty simple with the Democrats. They also don't have the votes to break or end the filibuster. Activists have been calling for a long time, long before we got a preview of what this potential ruling might be from the Supreme Court on abortion. Activists have wanted Democrats to eliminate the filibuster over voting rights and other key issues like climate change. But that they just don't have, they need 50 votes. And there are two senators, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, who do not want to eliminate the filibuster. And so they're in this bind on abortion where they don't have the votes to protect abortion rights at the federal level. At the same time, they don't have the votes to get rid of the filibuster. And that's actually, the filibuster is a more of an internal fight between members, because they could do that with 50 votes.
Right, right. So what do you think this means for the state of the Democratic Party, given that there is not the same agreement, the same level of voting agreement on the Democratic side as there is on the Republican side? I mean, as you mentioned, there's differences of opinion, but there's kind of voting unanimity.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an interesting dynamic right now where Democrats at the federal level, even though they do control Congress, they don't really have a legislative path forward because they just don't have enough votes to overcome a filibuster in the Senate. And so despite all this pressure and advocacy demanding that they do something, it is hard to see a path forward for them. Joe Biden, a Democrat, has said he will do everything he can, with using the executive power by directing his administration to enact, some executive orders protecting women's rights. But we're not clear what those would look like, and we're not clear what kind of power he does have to act unilaterally. So interestingly, the Democrats who are kind of on the front lines of this are actually governors and state lawmakers who that's the legislators and the executives who are going to be deciding these state level abortion bans or laws expanding abortion if Roe is struck down and the decision returns to the states.
Right. So what are you watching on that front nationally?
Well, what I'm watching is right now, Democrats are kind of trying to direct all of this attention and this energy to the November midterms. Democrats are not well positioned this cycle. Typically, the president's party loses in the first midterm elections of the president's of a new presidency, and so they're kind of set up to do poorly in the midterm elections. But they're hoping that this energy and this anger from Americans who, can't believe that Roe might not be the law of the land, they're hoping to channel that into the November elections, get them out to vote, give them a reason to vote for Democrats that maybe wasn't there before. And so I am looking to see if that's the dynamic we'll see. Republicans, on the other hand, think, you know what, this isn't the top priority. The economy's in terrible shape. Voters are focused on the economy, not abortion. They're saying Roe is just going to return it to the states, not eliminate abortion. So some states will have access, some states won't. So I think there's a real tension there, and I'm not sure how it'll play out. And I think we'll have to see what happens when the actual final ruling does come out. We have every reason to believe it would likely look this similar to what we've seen from Alito's opinion. But nevertheless, I think when it actually does come out, we will see real passions really rise, probably on both sides of the issue.
Right. And so you were talking about turnout in the upcoming election and whether and how Democrats may be mobilizing their voters. And I wonder, though, for conservatives and Republicans who are also energized by this issue, do we have any indication, like, which side is more fired up on this?
That's always the golden question on this issue, because it really is one that energizes both sides. And, conservatives have been mobilizing around the issue of abortion for decades. They pursued this strategy of putting conservative justices on the Supreme Court and conservative judges throughout the federal bench just so they could build to this day where they got a case before the Supreme Court that could potentially strike down Roe. So this is sort of a pinnacle moment for the conservative movement. They've achieved this long-term goal. So we do expect to see lots of energy on the right. And you know, I think it's hard to tell at this point which side is more energized, but I have no doubt, and from what I'm seeing, I have no doubt. And you know, here in Washington, you see the protests outside the Supreme Court, especially in the days that followed the leaked draft, and you saw people, activists and supporters of both sides out there, and they were very, very passionate and very, energized is the word I'd use.
Yeah. We're speaking with one of the Guardian's senior political reporters, Lauren Gambino, about the Senate vote yesterday. And we would love to hear from you. 800-642-1234. What do you think will happen next? Call 1-800-642-1234. You can email us, ideas@WPR.org. We will continue this conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stenson for Rob Ferret. Right now, we're speaking with Lauren Gambino, senior political reporter with The Guardian, about the Senate vote voting to block abortion protection yesterday and how that might affect voting in the upcoming midterms. Love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. What are you hoping to see from politicians? 1-800-642-1234. Well, Lauren, we were talking about the midterms, and one thing that I wonder might be on the minds of some voters, particularly Democratic voters, as they think, as they look at their party and they look at having control of the White House and both both chambers, and not seeing any action. Could they potentially hold the current administration accountable for a lack of action?
Absolutely. And Democrats are really worried about that because it is a hard case to make to tell voters, vote for us. We'll do this, this, and this. And then voters say, wait a second, I think, aren't you in power now? And to tell them, well, yes, we are, but we don't have, 60 votes to overcome a filibuster is a bit of a wonky message for the midterms.
Yep.
But that is something that they are struggling with. And so that's why you see them take these votes. They are trying to demonstrate that they are doing everything, but that, and they're, what they will say is that Republicans are blocking them. This is Democrats speaking, but Republicans have this extremist agenda. They want to, on abortion, they want to take away your right to have an abortion. They want to go further and they want to establish a federal ban on abortion. You do see some evidence that Republicans might be worried about the potency of this issue because Mitch McConnell has moved to very quickly tamp down any discussion of a federal ban on abortion and said it would be something that they would rather leave to the states. Even though there are conservative activists calling for that. So I think Democrats are hoping to sort of, turn the tables, turn the focus onto Republicans and say, well, look how bad it could be. You need us to protect the rights we have now. And you need more of us to actually, enact laws that would do that.
All right. So I want to go to the phones now. We've got Michael on the line from Madison. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Great. I was just calling in. They were discussing the Roe v. Wade decision and how that would affect voting.
Yeah.
And for me and my family, we generally vote pro-life. And if this were to go through, we would just continue to do so. We value life and from conception to natural death. But I think also, too, then it really... We need to have advocacy for moms in need and have places like Birthright and that type of thing. So
Michael, if I may, do you think that this recent decision will, you mentioned that maybe this is not, you already vote on this issue. And so will this, do you see this bringing out more people to the polls? Do you see this changing anybody's vote? Like, how do you see that happening?
I mean, Yeah, your guest made a good, I think, a good understanding that there's a lot of different issues given our world right now, and particularly here in the state of Wisconsin. But I think that overall, I think it's going to bring some vitality to, and maybe some understanding to the people that maybe are not well informed of the pro-life movement. And, you know, we talk about different advantages in our healthcare. We are able to do neonatal surgeries so early in the infant's life, in utero. And that really just speaks really to the human person and the development as a human person with human dignity. So I just, again, I just think that it might bring some vitality to the discussion, and probably will enhance the pro-life movement.
Thanks, Michael. What do you think, Lauren, as you are following, I'm sure, states across the country and thinking about the midterms and talking to voters, thinking about how this may change the upcoming election, what are you hearing? Are you hearing a lot of folks like Michael?
Yes, it's an interesting issue because I think the people who are already pro-choice or pro-life voters are kind of already primed to turn out and to vote on this issue. There's some people in the middle, though, that we're not sure how they will vote. And the state-by-state breakdown is really interesting because overall we see, you know, across the country, broadly speaking, polls show that a majority of Americans don't want to see Roe overturned and do support, in some or all cases, a right to an abortion. However, when you look at state by state breakdowns, especially in conservative states where there is already pretty significant restrictions on the procedure, and women do have a very hard time getting an abortion in some of these states, like, you know, already like Missouri or Texas is a good example. There's higher support for pro-life, you know, sort of the pro-life movement or sort of the anti-abortion movement. So, you know, I'm not, it's going to be interesting because on the broad scale, you'd think, oh, there, and Democrats keep saying that there is a pro-choice majority in this country. But when you actually see the breakdowns by state, I don't know how that will play out because I think, you know, in the states where pro-choice voters intend to make their voices heard, there is already more lenient laws for abortion. And we don't expect those kind of states like, you know, New York to ban abortion. Certainly not. They're looking to expand it. So there's this real tensions. And again, like in so many other issues, you're going to see sort of a divided states of America, if you will. There's going to be, you know, very different laws depending on where you are and depending on the political and religious makeup of the electorate there.
Yeah. And I wonder too about the likelihood of any kind of legislation for a total ban on abortion.
Mm-hmm. So conservatives are calling for it. We're seeing, you know, obviously several states have been working towards this, and many states have laws in the books already that would ban abortion. The second Roe is overturned, or, you know, they've taken sort of preemptive measures. But in terms of a nationwide ban, that is something conservative activists are pushing Republicans to embrace. They think that, you know, if Republicans win back both chambers of Congress next in the November midterms, that that's something that they should really prioritize and push. I think I said this earlier, but Mitch McConnell is very wary of that, you know, which is surprising because he has worked to install conservative judges who would bring about an end to Roe. But nevertheless, he's sort of cautioned against a total nationwide ban on abortion, I think because he is worried about potential political backlash from that. There doesn't seem to be broad support for that. And I think it could feed this impression that they are maybe more extreme on the issue, as Democrats are trying to say.
Yeah. So what are you looking for next? What are kind of the key signs that you're watching as you cover Congress and upcoming election cycle and legislative cycles?
Well, I'm definitely watching this tension between the Democratic activists and the Democrats in Congress because You know, the closer we get to a ruling, and we are expecting a ruling in the next few weeks or months from the Supreme Court on this exact issue. And I just, there's going to be such tension because already activists are asking, like, how is there not a plan? We knew this was a potential outcome. Why hasn't the president Democratic controlled chambers of Congress? Why don't they have a better plan for us? And so I'm interested to see how all of this energy and passion and tension plays out, whether it mobilizes Democrats, and changes, turns around their luck this cycle, or whether it actually demoralizes some of their base and they decide to stay home. I think it's really unclear how it's going to play out, but I think that's going to be a big story going forward.
Yeah. And what states in particular are you keeping your eye on?
Related to this issue, I think Wisconsin will be a very interesting state.
Of course, Lauren.
Absolutely. Had to say that. No. I am watching Wisconsin. I think races where this issue will be a big play a central role are going to be states within governor, important governor's races. So Georgia, Arizona, we're seeing Senate races in Nevada and New Hampshire. So there's lots of places, I think, and state legislative races as well will be kind of the front line, because they will be writing some of these laws that either expand or restrict abortion. So I think all across the country, I think we'll see this be a central issue, especially when we get that ruling sometime this summer.
Do you think there will be... I mean, are you concerned about your safety as you cover these issues as a reporter?
Thanks for the question. I have not had any reason yet to worry about my safety as a journalist. Or, I think there are worrying signs. Passions are very, very high. But so far, I think it's important to make sure this is clear. The protests that we've seen in Washington, D.C. are peaceful, though there's some controversy around.
We're out of time. I'm so sorry. But thank you for joining us today.
Thanks.
Lauren Gambino there, senior political reporter at The Guardian newspaper.